The World Show with Nikki B.
Yes, this is The World Show, and right now I'm so excited. Isn't this amazing? There you are, sitting all the way in France. I'm here in Joburg. Lokwa Kanza, what a pleasure to have you on The World Show again.
It's my pleasure, Nikki. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Although happier for seeing your face. Unfortunately, my listeners will have to listen to us, not like me where I can see you as well. But what a pleasure always to have you on the show. And also, before I even begin, Lokwa, thank you for this beautiful, beautiful offering called Moko. What an incredible new album. Wow.
Thank you so much.
This is something. How much time have we got? I want to speak to you so much about this album. It's so beautiful. But before we go there, Lokwa, you know, all the time I'm getting more and more audience on the show, and I know I've got a lot of younger people as well. So I wanted to use this first link just to touch on a little bit of your background. And so let's go back to the beginning, where you came from and when you started performing, because I know it was at a very young age. So tell us a little bit about where you came from and those introductions to Lokwa as the artist we know him today.
Wow, long, long time. I start like I was 8 years old. The day I go to the church. So it was some young guys, same age than me, but we don't have the same talent. They were singing like angels. And I would say, wow, I would like to be part of it.
Yes.
And the next day I go to see the director and I tell him and say, you know, I would like to sing. He say, yeah, but come another day and we're going to see what you can do. So I tried to sing, and he said to me, yeah, it's not bad, but you need to practice. And I come back another day, and I was trying to learn. And that was my beginning.
Yes.
It was in Congo, in Kinshasa, exactly.
In Kinshasa, yeah. And I mean, why do you think, was there any specific reason why you just knew that you had to sing? Was your family musical, or what was it that was inspiring you besides this experience at church?
I think my father helped me a lot. Without saying nothing, my father was playing guitar. For sure, when I was young, very young, I was listening to music, and we have a radio in the house. So I was listening to music. And Kinshasa is an incredible town because you have music everywhere in Kinshasa.
Yes.
Even in the night, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock, people come from the bar and playing music everywhere.
Yes. And from then on, the rest, I mean, really is history. So you started at 8, and what happened after that? What was the next step in your musical journey?
The next step was the flute, you know.
Yes.
The flute. I go to the place we call, they call it Kimbangiste. It's a religion, it's a good religion in the Congo, and they was playing flutes. I was very attracted by that. I say, wow, the sound, the tone was like magic. And I say, I would like to do the same. So I go and I start learning, and that things helped me a lot because I come from a poor family. I don't want to talk about that, but sometimes people need to know.
Yes.
And to eat or to have something for your family was very hard. So a Mickey group, a band, was playing flutes with my friends, and they are paying us like $1 sometimes.
Yes.
And that helped a lot my family.
Yes, and that was the natural flute, obviously, not the classical flute as we know it.
No.
Yes. And I suppose it's also to do with the breath and with the voice as the flute. I'm sure it was a good training for your voice as well.
Definitely. And after that step was the guitar. The guitar was amazing because I was very surprised to see how a piece of wood with strings can give so many sounds.
Yes.
And many harmony and chords. And I started learning by a friend who was playing, but it was for me so difficult. It teach me 3 chords.
Yes.
After that, I said, wow, I'm the guitarist, the best guitarist in the world. But I didn't know. It was only the beginning.
Yes. And actually, the guitar has stayed with you right through your journey. That's something for me that is so much a part of your music as well. You know, and then from then on, at a very young age, you started working with some of the greatest African artists of our lifetime. Tell us how you got involved and who you were working with.
I was 19. I was the guitarist of Abiti Maskini. Abiti Maskini was one of the biggest singers in Congo, one of the biggest in Africa too. because she was incredible. It's my first time I really become like a professional musician. Many hours of working, like 10 o'clock in the morning until sometime 10 o'clock in the night. Yes. So for me, it was a very big, big training for me. And also, it was the first time for me to travel, because normally I know only Kinshasa. But when I was working with RBG, we go to Kolwezi, Likasi. After we go to the first big festival, African festival, it was in Gabon, Africa Vision. Yes. It was my first time to go outside, and my lucky.
Yes.
To meet Miriam Makeba, the mama.
Yes. And I mean, how old were you at that time?
I was
about. You must have been in your teens still.
I was 19 or 20.
Yes, yes. You were still a child. And now and now you speak about Miriam. And of course, you know how much Miriam means to me. And in fact, it was through Miriam that I first met you. Do you remember that?
Yes. You know, I told you that story. You know, when I was 13.
Yes. Please tell us.
When I was 13 in the stadium, I go to see a concert. Miriam Makeba was playing. That day changed all my life. She's the one who completely gave me a direction. The day I met Makeba on stage, of course, I didn't meet her face to face, but it was the day I decided to become a musician like her.
Yes.
Many times, some men say, my hero is Damien, but my hero is Miriam Makeba. That's the person who really changed my life.
What do you think it was about her at that time? Was it her voice? Was it the message? Was it her performance? Or everything together?
It was everything together. It was the beauty of her voice, the beauty of her person, because she's an incredible, beautiful woman, and the personality. Makeba, she's a powerful human being.
Yes.
At the same time, she's so tender, intense. All those things together blows my mind away.
Yes. In fact, I'm going to interject a little bit there, and just, I'm sure I've said this a few years ago on air, but it was through Miriam that I met you, because when she came back to this country, she released the first album when she got off, you know, coming back, and it was Homeland. And yes, and I got
I didn't know it was the first album after that.
When she came back, yes. And I got a call from somebody who was working at BMG, and he knew that I loved your work, and he said, Lokwe Kanza is in the country. He's come to record with Miriam. And I got straight in my car, and I drove to the studio. I remember it was December time. It was really quiet in Joburg. And I remember getting there so quickly because there was no traffic, and I was so excited to meet Lokwe. And that was how I first met you. But tell us about that experience with Miriam.
You know, to be honest with you, Makeba, we have so many stories together, but for me, that's the one. That's our real artist. We are many, but Makeba is special. To be honest with you, with her, she was singing, and me, I was crying. You know, it's incredible to be in front of her. All my life, I was trying to be like her. She's my teacher. Even she was far from me, she's my real teacher. And to see your teacher singing in front of you, I was crying. And she just bring me and take me. And she say, it's okay. I say, I'm okay. I'm so happy to be here. She said to me, I'm happier than you.
But isn't it true that when that you had sent her some songs, and that she said to you, I remember you telling me, she said to you, thank you for the songs, but I will only do them if you come and do them with me.
That's true. That's true. You know, are you going to make me some tears? Let me tell you one thing. First of all, I have a friend who told me, Lokwe, you know what? Makeba listened to your album. Before I met her, he said to me, Lokwe, Remo Dumbe, the best player of Makeba, said to me, Lokwe, Makeba listened to your album. She cried and she wants you to compose song for her. For me, it was a joke.
Yes.
I didn't realize, I didn't accept. I said, hey, Remo, come on, please. Stop your joke. Don't do that. Until the day, the director of the festival, African festival, called me and say, Lokwe, Makeba gonna play in Wolfsburg festival. Come to be a DJ, to present her, you know?
Yes.
Like the host, what do you call that? The host.
Yes.
I say, I come, please, I come, and you don't need to pay me. I come.
Yes.
And do you know what, Nikki? The first word Makeba said to me.
What was it?
She said, hi. And Mihai said, what is my songs? I realized it was true.
Yes.
9 months, I didn't be able to compose. I compose every single day, almost. But when Makeba asked me to compose song for her, it was like 9 months. Blank, nothing stopped. Everything stopped on me. But when it comes, I compose 5 songs for her.
Amazing. And you worked with her on that album. You collaborated with her. You produced. You did a bit of everything, I think, with that album with Miriam. Beautiful, beautiful.
And she asked me to sing with her.
That's right. And those are such beautiful songs.
Nikki, that was very hard for me because I never sing so bad.
I'm sure not.
I was shaking. I tell you, I was shaking. I was like a kid. I don't know what to do. My kid was singing. She have a microphone there and me here. And I say, oh my God, Dad, no, no. But it was real.
And I think from then on, you know, she remained like me, having met and spent time with her. My hero, one of the greatest heroes I will ever have in my life.
Definitely.
Yes, I think we share that. But along the way, and I want to move on to Moko after this, you also at a young age, you worked with Manu Dibango, you worked with Papa Wemba, you were also a key player in Papa Wemba's album Emotion, I think it was.
I composed and produced.
Composed and produced that album. I mean, these were great artists that you met when you were still quite young. Can you say that they made, you know, their contribution to your art is immeasurable?
Oh, you know, what I can say about myself is I'm lucky. I say thank God, because to have that chance, those big talents, to give you the opportunity to work with them, for me is a big chance for me.
Yes.
An honor.
Yes. And thank you, Lokwa, because for me, you've taken from these greats and you've, you know, this month is Heritage Month in South Africa.
Okay.
Because we have Heritage Day on the 25th of September. So we you know, and I invited you also. I was so happy this month because for me, you are such a strong part of our heritage as Africans, actually.
Thank you.
And our musical heritage. And for me, the reason I wanted to bring this up, because it is honoring that heritage, and now I'm honoring you in turn. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
I want to focus mostly on this beautiful new release called Moko. And I think before we start talking about it, let's play one of the tracks. And I've chosen to start with a track that I haven't yet played on the show. But what a beautiful energy this track has got. Well, the whole album. And it's called Melopig. How do you say it?
Melopig, say it right.
Melopig. And then when we come back on the other side, I want to hear more about the makings of the album Moko.
Okay.
What Moko means, all of it is so beautiful. How many incredible people contributed to this album. But for
100.
Now, 100. I need another hour so you can name them all. Thank you so much. Lokwa Kanza with us on The World Show. It is Kaya 959. Yes, Kaya 959. Wow, how beautiful and powerful. Melopig is the name of the track. It's of Lokwa Kanza's beautiful new offering called Moko. What is Melopig, Lokwa? What language?
Melopig is not language. Melopig means melody and pygmies.
Okay.
I am a huge fan of the way of pygmies sing. That technique, when I was young, I really learned and practiced from my life. And Melopig was the title when I composed the song. But everybody said to me, don't change it. Melopig is good. That's okay.
But it's such a beautiful song. What I mean, it's one of those songs you want to open to inspire everyone. So besides the pygmy angle or the pygmy musicality, how would you describe or interpret that song?
Excuse me.
Melopec. What would you say it's about besides the music of the Pygmies?
It's a beautiful song of, you talk about love. But, you know, I ask it to the writer who do the lyric to write a song in French, but doesn't sound like French. Everybody sing thing is African language,
yes,
or Creole or something like that, but in French.
That's why I asked you.
And the way you wrote that, yes, is so precious and so, how can I say that?
Musical.
The sound is very tonic.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the musicality of the language, actually.
Exactly.
And, you know, talking about that, this song, this album, Moko, you speak about 10 different languages.
14.
Wow, 14. Was it, you know, an intention that you wanted to make sure all these languages were represented, or did it happen organically along the way?
I love languages. If I was able to be like 200 years on this life, I'm going to learn all languages in the world. I love the tone. I love the spirit. I love the... I don't know how to explain that, but... And in this album, it's like a kid's dream. When I was young, the things that touched me the most was when good musician play and you can just feel your body flying.
Yes.
You go to another place. You go to another planet. And that's the thing I love with music. And I was saying in this album, I would like to bring all those great musicians I love and to put them together. That's why it took me like 8 years old, 8 years on studio.
Yeah.
And I traveled to 12 countries.
Yes.
Even South Africa.
Yes.
I was in Brazil, in India, in Congo, in Senegal, in Nigeria. I was in Hungary to do strings, you know, many places in the world. And in the end, I would like this album to be like a beautiful tribute to human being.
Yes.
Tribute to love. That's the way we need to be. We need to be together. In this album, we have many people come from many countries, but all of them just give like flowers to a human being. That's what I would like to do.
So Moko, tell us the meaning of Moko in Lingala.
Moko mean one. Moko mean the beginning. Also the unity.
So really that encapsulates it. Amazing. So you talk about taking, I think it's 11 years since your last solo studio album. Is that right? Yes.
Right.
I know you've been busy in the meanwhile. People mustn't think that Lokwa Kanzo was doing nothing in the meanwhile. He was doing a lot of producing, a lot of traveling, a lot of working across the world. Also Toto Bono Lokwa. You released another one of the second album in this time. But so the process of recording this album, what you're telling me that in traveling over these 8 years, you were actually recording in the different countries with the musicians.
True.
It wasn't a digital collaboration.
No, I was traveling to different countries with musicians in the studio.
Yes.
I was there because I love that relation. You know, it's not the same when you have people with you close to you, breathing, talking, playing your mood, the way you are feeling the music, the way it's sending to you back is something else.
Yes.
Of course, it's like, I think I have one or two musicians, we make session digitally far away, but all the musicians normally, like 98%, they was together.
Yes. Wow, amazing. And you spoke about really spreading the message of love. So on that note, I think I've got to play the next song. Love is a Power. And I remember when you sent me this album, the first song I played that week on air, because it was so important, especially in these times, is this one.
Wow.
Tell us who's featured on the track, Love is a Power.
Many people. The first person we will start is Leslie Nicole Booker.
Yes.
She's my manager.
Yes. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Leslie. She's the one who's talking. Mm. And I have some musicians, I meet them in the restaurant.
Wow.
I was eating and they come to play for me. And they was playing the rhythm we call Mutwash in Congo. The special rhythm is only one place in Congo.
Yes.
We have a drum we call Jitumba, I was so touched. I said to them, you know what? Going to be part of my album. They will not really accept that. They don't admit.
These are musicians who are not like very well known.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was like, look what he's saying this word is not true. And on that song, you have André Manga, who was the bassist player of...
Manu Dibango, yeah.
Manu Dibango, and now for... what is the name? André Manga played with... For Josh Groban.
Yes.
And in this album, in this song, you have on keyboard, is Jean-Philippe Riquel.
The legend himself.
You have Paco Seri on drums.
Wow.
Yeah. And you have Rosine Belinga, Loco Malaika, Didier Kukwan, and some singers from South Africa too.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I love the funk groove on this one. So let's hear it. I love the funk groove. I love the song. I love the message. As done by Lokwa Kanza on his album Amoko. Coming up next, Love is the Power. Kaya 959. Lokwa Kanza, love is a power. You know, I think one of the reasons, Lokwa, that I was so, like, I had to play that song first. Because that song for me really, when I think of Lokwa, I always know that you have spread love from the very first album. You've spread love, you spread this message of self-empowerment, self-love, as well as love for the planet and fellow human beings. And that's why that song for me, it's like shouting about the fact that love is a power. Yes. Is there anything you want to add to that and the concept of love in your life?
I think it's the first thing in life, the real power, like I said in that song, is love. Sometimes you can try to do things, to say things, and human beings sometimes takes the way where it's not real truth. Yes. But for me, the first power, the real power, is love. That's what I can say. And I prove it, and I see it with myself, with life, everywhere when I go. I can see how those people... Take an example. During the COVID, what do you say that? Come on,
The lockdown.
You see all those people who are supposed to have many money, millions of money and thousands of money. Those money doesn't do nothing.
Yes.
Those blocks in the house, the only things... was real in our life was love, music, talking, to be together. That was the thing. Nothing else. So I think it was a time for people who have really a heart and mind to realize how love is very powerful.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. It's not just what was happening in the homes, which I think is very significant, but it kind of reminded us all that even beyond our homes and our loved ones, and many have lost their loved ones, The fact that we must start loving each other as fellow human beings. You know, I think that was a rude awakening for the world, or maybe a blessed awakening. Absolutely. Exactly. Now, talking about the lockdown period, you released this album, a month or two ago. Was this album supposed to be released before? Were the finishing touches done in this lockdown period? How did this period of isolation, if you like, impact on your work or those around you in the music world?
This period comes after I finish the recording of the album, before I go to mix and mastering.
Yes.
But during that time, I was blocked in my mind. Normally, I compose like every single day, like I was saying. But on this time, I was blocked. My mind was like in prison. The only good thing I was doing, it was playing with my daughter.
Yes. You were doing...
It's been many, many games. Many games for kids.
But on that note, Lokwa, also, children have always been an important part of your compositions, of the way you write, of an inspiration to you. Would I be right in saying that?
It's true. It's true. That's why now I am the ambassador of UNICEF.
That's right. Thank you for reminding me. I noticed that. Please tell us about that you have just been nominated as an ambassador for the children.
I'm so honored and happy because I love kids. I have kids. But people say every time kids are the future. It's true.
Yes.
But to have a good future, you need to help them. Without love, without teaching them the real way, it's going to be difficult. A kid, it's someone you need to be protected.
Yes, nurtured.
If you don't protect the kids, tomorrow is going to be a bad guy for everybody. So you need really to protect him.
Yes. And what do you do as your work as an ambassador? I mean, normally without the, you know, the COVID restrictions, would you be traveling and working with children? What do you do for your work as the ambassador for children?
I just start.
Yes.
I do my first mission was in Congo, and I need to see them, to know what is the problem they have, and me by my side to make a plan, what I can do to help them.
Amazing. Beautiful. Yeah, I saw some images of you with the children in Congo. But as I say, almost every album you've recorded, there's a song that I always think is for the children and the child in each of us, actually. I remember like Goodbye. Goodbye, Mommy and Daddy. And there's every album you've got something which is very specifically from the children or from a childlike perspective. Is there any song on this album that you would say is reminds you of that?
Oh, many songs. You know, for example, Love is a Power. When I say Love is a Power, Love is a Power, the answer is my daughter.
She was
like four years old when she sang that.
Yes.
Four tracks, boom, 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 bye, daddy, ciao.
Beautiful. And they are, because there's other songs with an incredible message. But the next song I want to play is Osala. Is it? Osala, featuring Charlotte Dipanda. Who's Charlotte?
What an amazing singer.
Yes, tell us a little bit about Charlotte, because I only know her through this song.
You know, Charlotte, I met her, she was 15 years old. And she said to me, look, well, I'm a huge fan of yours, and blah, 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 blah. But many years after I lived in Paris, she was in Cameroon, and she came to Paris. Now she's one of the biggest singers in French Africa, and many places in the world. She's an amazing singer, an amazing person, too. She's very a sister, a friend. And I love that girl because she has a big talent. I'm sure with the years, all the planet's going to know her. But she's an amazing, you can listen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what language is the song in and what's it about?
Okay. The song means Osala is in Douala, a language from Cameroon that means don't go. You know, it's a love song. And in that song, I sing many, many little parts of languages of Cameroon. Bassa, Bulu, Bakaka, many languages inside.
It's absolutely beautiful. I'm going to play you that song now. You know what? I've got such a problem. This album, the entire album is a complete treat. So although I'm going to play a lot of songs today, I urge everybody to get their own copy of Moko. Coming up right after this, off Lokwa Kanza's Moko Uz Osala, featuring Charlotte Dipanda.
Christian Mbappe, on bass.
Yes, great. Anyone
Marco
else?
Marco Serra on drums.
Yes.
Dominique Fee on the piano.
Beautiful. It is, of course, the World Show, and Lokwa Kanza is with us, coming to us from France. God, Fire 959. Absolutely beautiful. You've got to get the album Moko, that one, Osala, featuring Charlotte Depanda. And I'm with the man himself, Lokwa Kanza, and I see Lokwa. Some of your musical family from South Africa are sending you messages. I got a message from Zamo Mbuto. You probably know Zamo from Singing with Miriam. And he says, what a beautiful album, Lokwa. Sending you that message.
Thank you, Zamo. Thank you so much.
Yes. And Azar also sent a message. He says, listening to the beautiful interview, regards to Brother Lokwa. Hope we'll meet soon. You're an incredible person and musician. And I think you've had some dealings with Azar so far. And I'm still waiting to see what comes out of that. And even before we came on, there were so many of your South African family that were like, yes, Lokwa's coming. And on, on that note, you know, you speak about Miriam Makeba and what she meant to you. But you also worked with Busi Mhlongo.
Yes, that amazing singer.
Yes, and you released some of my favorite Busi songs, features Lokwa Kanza. So that is amazing. And I think I wanted to mention that for people who might not know, that you have actually a long history with South African music. Yes. So now on this album, Lokwa, as you say, 100 artists, but you also explore different musical elements from different places. Tell us a little bit about that. Some of these influences that come through.
Many influences. He has Bala from Senegal. They have some rhythm of Nigeria. They are rhythm from Congo, Rumba, Sukus. They have Mutwashi from the south of my country. And some Indian influence from Navin Kumar, who is one of the biggest flutists in India. There was a big arranger too called Chris Walden.
Yes.
He's one of the biggest arrangers now in the Hollywood. Amazing guy. You know, I love that man. He's been making incredible work on this album, on a song called Kangamiso. So there are many, many influences on the album.
Yes, absolutely. And it's beautiful. And in fact, on that note, you've also tributed Manu Dibango and featured him on a song that you tell us about that song. I'm not going to play it tonight, but was that recorded with Manu obviously before his passing for this album?
Yes, I sent a message to the manager of Manu Dibango. I say, please, Claire, can you tell me how Manu going to cost me him to come and play to my album? Claire said to me, I'm going to ask Manu Dibango, and because Manu never had cellophone. You don't like that.
Yes.
Until he died, it doesn't have that.
Yes.
So Claire sent to me a message, Lokwa, Manu said it's going to be so expensive. And in my mind, I say, no, Manu don't want to play.
Yes.
And I say, please, can you just ask to know what about what kind of price?
Yes.
And Claire answered me again, say, 000 cefa. That means Manu say going to come for free. Yes. And he did it.
Yes.
Manu came to the studio. I was so impressed by his love, by his heart and his musicality. When Manu plays in this song, especially, for me, it's not a playing. It's a letter of love Manu sent to me. He's an amazing guy. For me, the real icon of African music, I can say, for us as a musician, is Manu Dibango, is you, Baba you, Masekela, you know. All those guys do a lot for us. They opened the way how to reach the quality and to go far with our music. Thank you to them.
Absolutely. They certainly did, not only for music from Africa, but also spreading the energy of the African continent. Spreading
for the planet.
For the planet. Thank you so much. And Lokwa, you too, I personally must thank you for your role in doing exactly that as well. Even though you might have lived in France for many, many years, you continue to hold the torch up high for the Ubuntu, if I can say, of the African continent. Thank you very much. Yes.
Thank you.
And I mean, I'm sure Manu was also a mentor of yours at some point along
big,
the way.
Big mentor, big.
Yes, yes. Beautiful. Now, the next two songs, I'm going to have to watch the time. I wish the world show was still on till 10, because I want to play all these songs. But the next songs I'm going to play are two in a row.
Yes.
And this last song that we played, there are elements where that Senegalese imbalak is coming in. But the next one I'm going to play for that very reason, for the imbalak, but also for the message of this song, which I think is so appropriate for these times, was this song got to be strong, written before this COVID pandemic, or was that a little addition you did because of these times? Got to be strong.
Yeah, yeah. You know, life is so hard. Life is difficult sometimes. We need to be really strong to believe in what you want to do, to believe in your future, and to be strong just for life is so hard. We need the strength.
But this track, Got to Be Strong, was this written before the pandemic or during? Because it's like an interlude.
It's an interlude that you do before the pandemic.
Wow.
But you know, like God do things, sometimes you don't know, but you're doing things for tomorrow.
And this is certainly one of them. And then I'm going to follow it with an incredible collaboration. And I wasn't going to leave tonight without playing this one, Summer Way. Mm-hmm. Who were you working with on Summer Way? Tell us about this track.
Oh, in Summer Way, I have that big band. I was a very huge fan of him. Was his job. I never hear a voice like that.
Never. Never. Yes.
Was his job. He's a poet. I love his humanity, because how to describe Was his... He's so calm.
Yes.
He's so peaceful. When you are with Wazis, you feel like you are with the ocean, like you are with the you know, that calm.
Yes.
His spirit's so strong. I love that man.
You can hear it in his voice. You can certainly hear it in his voice. And what is Summer Way about?
Summer Way means my friends. In this song I say, money cannot buy love. Money cannot buy a friendship. And this song I wrote for all those people who helped me to do that album, because that album cost a lot. I don't want to say the price.
Yes.
People are going to go, comment dit Evanu? Faint.
Faint, yes.
So, yeah, I don't want to say that. But these many friends of mine in Congo, in different places of the world, helped me to do that album, because it's a completely...
Self-produced, crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But wow, this is an expensive album. You're right. It's absolutely beautiful. Moko is the name of the album. I'm honored and blessed to be chatting to the man himself, Lokwa Kanza. Here's two in a row of Moko. Kaya 959. Lokwa Kanza, wow, there we go. Lokwa Kanza on the World Show. And that particular song, I think you must put it in liquid form and drop it in the water of all the water tanks in the world, so people can be healed. Featuring Wasis Job, Lokwa Kanza. The album is Moko, the track, Summer Way. How beautiful, Lokwa, how absolutely beautiful.
Thank you for all those musicians who give me the chance, the honor to make a part of this album.
And thank you too. Now, in many ways, when I listen to this album, and we've spoken about Manu and that song you tribute to him, you've got incredible collaborations, not just with vocalists, but with all these musicians you are mentioning. These are the world's top musicians. But in some ways, I also find this a tribute album. Would I be right in saying that? You know, you're tributing certain artists through your collaborations as well as through your songs.
Is the way to say thank you to all those guys who give me the chance to become a musician, like Manu Dibango, Amira Makeba, Baba Yung Masekela. You know, there are so many. And also differences. People come from all the country, like Stevie Wonder, like, I don't know, Pink Floyd or what.
Yes.
Whatever. And when you're an artist, you're inspired by many people. You're inspired by many things. It can be a painting, can be sculpture, can be by people who wrote books. That's the way we become someone. And when I do that album, I say to myself, that's the moment for me to tribute to all those guys, and especially to human beings.
Yes. Do you, when you compose, what comes to you first? The melodies, the lyrics? How do your songs start, and how do you compose? Yes.
The lyric comes after.
Okay.
In general, is the music. I start many times, I think, with chords. Sometimes chords. Chords sometimes give me the atmosphere. And after that, it's the melody comes. When the melody comes, I can just trying to prepare, to feel. If I really feel it, I can go for it. If I don't feel it, I forget. I put it away. And in the end, when I have that kind of ambience in the village, so the words can come. The words is a little bit difficult to me. That's why I collaborate many times with all the lyricists.
But you've always written beautiful lyrics. So, yes. And that's what I'm kind of getting at is, in those compositions, is it a feeling and experience that might or might not need words afterwards? So if it's a song about whatever, Got to Be Strong, for example, it was the feeling of Got to Be Strong, and then you realized the song is about Got to Be Strong. So, you know, because what you're saying to me is it's the melodies. So the melodies have their own qualities before the words come. Yes. Wow, I always thought you would be a songwriter first, a lyric. You would write the lyrics first, and then the compositions.
I never do it this way, but like I told you, most of the time I need to have an atmosphere. I need to have a special space and world.
Yes.
So if I want to talk about the power, I need to talk about tenderness, you know. The music needs to be really tender, you know, like a...
Yes.
And after I create the melody, and in the end, I can start now serving what I have.
Yes.
Just try to find the real words, but it's not easy for me. It's very difficult sometimes.
Because words can also be limiting in some ways, you know? Yes.
True.
Yes. That's so interesting for me. I just learned something new about Lokwakhanza.
That's why sometimes, for example, the song Kwatel with Frey Lema, you have no words.
Well, that's the next song I'm going to play, because...
No words, because
yes,
it was the spirit, was the moment I was feeling good, strange, and I keep it like this.
And how perfect with Ray to feel good and strange all at the same time. But Frey Lema, he's also an important mentor, I would say.
Definitely. You know, when I was 19, I go visit Frey Lema in his house, and I stay a huge fan of him. He's the first person who gave me a guitar, because I didn't have guitar. When we all, you young musician in Congo, you don't have money even for eat. So imagine to have a guitar.
So you were with Ray in Congo?
In Congo.
But long before
Ray for the first...
Yes, that's a long time ago, Lokwa.
Long time.
Because he moved to France a long time ago.
He moved first in the U.S.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, it was a place asked me to go with him. But that time I cannot go because I have two kids. I was too young. I said, no, I'm sorry. I prefer to take care of them.
Yes. Amazing. Frey Lema, another, you know, we spoke about earlier, Brahu Miriam, people who really represented African music, or music from Africa, and the continent itself. So this track, should we just play it? And then, as you say, there's no words. So I suppose I won't ask you to explain this one.
Okay, I do.
It's just so beautiful. Lokwakhanza with me, Nikki B on The World Show. What an epic album this one is, as you can hear. It's Moko, and I said to Lokwa, although I want to play every track on the album, I have to fit in the next two before I let him go. Of course, it is Kaya 959. Yes. Sure. Brilliant. Lokwa Kanza with Ray Lema on that track. What a powerful track. Doesn't need words. They would be limiting. I felt it. I know exactly what you and Ray mean on that one. So, so beautiful. The album is Moko. The track is Katel. How do you say it? Katel?
Huh?
How do you say the name of the track?
Katel. Katel is a tribute to my dad. My father. My father. You know, I was 8 when my mother gone. I don't know, in paradise or somewhere. And I didn't have many time to spend with him. This rhythm I use on this track is come from the part of where he was born.
Okay.
We call it Lie Lie. Yes. It's very special. And I was trying with this song to, by my side, to do what was in my memory, the singer from this part of my dad when it comes.
Yes.
And I try to sing like them because I love traditional music. So it's a kind of tribute to him.
Absolutely beautiful. Lokwa, thank you so much for joining us. As I said, I could keep you here and play every single song. There is not a single song that I don't completely love on this album. But I'm going to end off the feature with a track that I suppose is, it's the final track on the album, but I suppose this is the track that was the first hit off this album on the world show. I still don't know what it's about, so you will tell me, Kende Malembe. Tell us about it.
Kende Malembe, you know, for example, it was the words in Kende Malembe. I put them out because the flutist Navin Kumar is so amazing. I was in Hospital Panzi, where the Dr. Mukwege, you know, is a place when this incredible man, the Dr. Mukwege, helps all the women who are raped by soldiers and everything like that in Congo. It's so hard. It's so brutal. And I got a chance to go there. The doctor say to those women, say, tell your story to Lokwa. Because Lokwa have that voice. He can sing in the world.
Amazing.
All world can listen to him. And I promised them to make a song what I'm going to say, all those things. That's Kende Malembe. It's a song for her. For her, not only, but for also the man who forgot how special, how precious is a woman.
Yes.
We come from woman. We need to protect woman and to respect woman. And don't forget that, because you cannot imagine when a human being, your mother, just imagine your mother, they said to you, they kill her or the rapper for any reason.
Yes.
So sometimes take time and, you know, I don't want to say many things, but that song's talk about that.
Lokwa Kanza, thank you so much. Thank you for the music you've always brought us, the inspiration you've brought to so many, not just artists, so many artists that I personally know of have been inspired by your work. And, of course, the inspiration you bring to all of us, even those who don't make music. Thank you for an incredible offering with Moko. Thanks also always for joining me on The World Show.
It's a pleasure.
Yes, I'm going to end with this incredible, incredible track, which, as I say, is a bit of a world show hit. Love is the power. Thank you, Lokwa Kanza.
All my love to your list, to all your listeners, really.
Thank you so much. You're definitely a part of the World Show family.
The World Show with Nikki B on Kaya 959.